I mean,
Jordan Poole? Nah.
oh man, that guy.
Man, though,
So he.
that's my favorite type of show to do, by the way, Fox. Right after, when it's hot, like you're hot, everybody's ready to go. Yeah.
You got
The burn your mouth show.
it's a blue ocean of takes out there too. It's like you can be the it's
Yeah.
so much fun to not feel like, because sometimes you internalize everyone else, say, oh, welcome to Debatable, the
Ooh.
fake TV show that is, I don't know what Pablo says. Why am I trying to do it like Pablo? It's the worst. We're
This is
brought to you by
perfect
our good
placement.
friends. Chill out, Alabasta. Relax them white digits. I got it. Brought to us by our good friends at Corona.
I got it.
I got it. Relax. I know who pays the bills. They're gonna get their love. Don't need your angry fingers. I forgot what I was talking about. I had something important to say too, I think. I don't know. I mean, last night's show was awesome. If you missed it, you missed it. Don't try to go to YouTube, ESPN, and rewatch it now. You missed it. It was fun when it happened before. And definitely do not go and subscribe to this podcast, you monsters. Watch it live like a decent human being. Your job's not that important. Take a break. All right, Alabaster, what do we got?
All right, so we are going to go back to last night's game, but I want to push it forward a tiny bit because we've had a night to digest and we've heard from Steve Kerr, we've heard from Draymond Green, we've heard from Klay Thompson, and they're all just like, eh, we're fine. We'll be good moving forward. And that was a weird game because the Celtics role players went nuts. And my question for you guys, do you think Celtics Warriors game one was fluky?
I mean, where I start with that question is, fluky doesn't matter at this point. Like, when you are down to a 7-game series, one fluky win, like, I don't know that it matters. Like, out of 82 games, you can dismiss a fluky game here or there. You can't
No.
give away a fluky game in the finals, game one, against a team that's supposed to be less experienced than you, which I think they're actually, like, outside of like the Warriors' top guys, the Celtics, they don't have finals experience, but they've been through some wars. They've been in the conference finals 3 times, like this core. This year alone, they've won 2 game 7s against, once against the defending champs and the other against the most culture team out there. Like, I think this is a big loss for them, and whether it's fluky or not, it doesn't matter. I think it really portends what's going to happen for the rest of the series.
Well, I think
Portends.
it's one
It
of
does not
the
pretend it. It portends it.
Portends.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think people just interchange those. Whatever. Sounds smarter. I think when it comes to, the secret of the NBA playoffs is they're
Hit
all a
that
little bit
thing.
fluky. Dang. Was
Oh,
that
he took
ice
that
that you're
hard. What was that?
Coffee, as far as you know.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut
Apparently
you
it's
off.
a apparently
I
it's
got
the last
scared.
coffee he's got in the house because he was
No,
really getting every last drop of
no.
that
It
Folgers.
totally is.
All right.
My
I've
bad.
drank
My
the
bad.
rest of
My
it.
bad. I
You can
won't.
buy some more beans.
I was gonna say I won't hammer the job during your take. My
I mean,
apologies.
there's none left. You went bottoms up. If there was any left, it'd be in your beard right now.
About halfway through that, I thought, I'm taking this a little too hard.
I'm sorry. Izzy was
It's
saying something
okay.
smart and important.
No, I mean, neither of those things. But the sort of the secret of the NBA playoffs is they're all kind of fluky. Like, just go through every list and every game. There's an injury here that, affected it. There's a game where, somebody blew up or a team had an incredible shooting performance. But I thought sort of the entirety of this game had fluky elements. But I think it ended up being more true to who the two teams are by the end. Because that first quarter, I don't know if you guys thought that the defense on Steph was questionable. But they treated him like Tony Allen out there a couple of times. Like, he's just wide open. That team was just unrecognizable, the Celtics were. The first wide open shot Jason Tatum gets, air ball. Like, this looked like they displayed the qualities of a scared team early on, of a nervous team. And once they got their act together a little bit, yes, the Warriors can still score on you. They can still have a great third quarter, and the Celtics can still have a terrible third quarter. But they're going to get that many open shots against a Warriors defense that was pretty much questionable all night. They're going to hit a good number of those. It just so happened in this one, it was in the fourth quarter. It could have been earlier in the game because Jason Tatum was getting his share of open shots as well and just flat out missing. And so, yeah, I think fluky in the way things played out because the shooting numbers for the Celtics for those role players were pretty high. But that's not like they were taking difficult shots. They were taking wide open shots. If you give them those shots for the entirety of this series, they're going to shoot a pretty high percentage. So fluky, no, not the result. Just a couple of elements within it, but the result certainly not.
Yeah, we got to stop looking at these sort of series like it's a full season that we're analyzing, right? When you hit a heater at a table in Vegas or the casino town of your choice, you don't think, hey, I won four hands in a row. That's fluky. No, 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 no. You take it, you ride it till you got it. We're not averaging out over a huge sample set here, okay? It's fluky. If the Celtics get four flukies in a row, it's over. It is over. And it is over fast. And I don't think, you say fluky, Izzy, you're totally right. They were getting open shots. That's the difference. In the fourth quarter, the Celtics' ball movement was incredible, and the Warriors weren't doing a whole lot to break that up either. And aiding and abetting by turning the ball over. It was everything that I think a Warriors fan thought might happen at the worst possible scenario, but only in the fourth quarter. But when you do that against a real good team, you'll bleed out 40 points fast.
Actually, don't. I mean, I agree with you to a point, but I kind of don't think it was just the fourth quarter. And I don't, even if we all agree that it doesn't matter whether it's fluky or not, but I don't think it was fluky. Like, if you... you could say that the fluky shooting from the role players is balanced out by the fluky bad shooting by Jason Tatum. That's not going to happen again. But it felt like, to Izzy's point, they were getting good shots. Like, they were not, the Warriors were not playing good enough defense. That was the problem. Maybe you could say that your poor rotations are fluky, or your confusion on switches and screens are fluky. And what is also fluky, why the hell were they switching screens? Like, they had never done that in the entirety of the playoff, at least to my knowledge. When people were trying to hunt Steph, they would hedge and try to switch back. They were letting Steph get switched onto Jason Tatum for the entirety of the game. Like, is it fluky that Steve Kerr just forgot what he was supposed to do, or that Steph Curry is a reasonable defender, but not a good defender? And no, it's not fluky that Jordan Poole can't play defense. It would have been fluky if he did play once.
Right. And this is where sort of I go back to what I was saying during the conference finals, was whoever comes out of the East is going to win this, the finals, because they're going to feel like they just broke free from jail. Because, yes, the numbers say that the Warriors were with the second best defense in the league this year. But the regular season numbers are a little bit different. Like, you can't, you could argue that their offense is what led to some good defense, because teammates felt like they had to press and everything else. And Jordan Poole in the regular season can be out there on offense and not be exposed, because teams aren't taking the focus to slow the game down, make sure you target him and get him off the floor. You can do that in the playoffs. And so there are questions of, oh, this Warriors team that's so good defensively all year long, but there are literally guys that you don't know if they can stay on the floor right now. You don't know if you'd rather play like a Kuminga as opposed to, you know, Jordan Poole, just for his size and athleticism and the things that you can do against the Boston offensive players. So, yeah, like, I thought, if I'm a Celtics player early on in that game, a Celtics fan, I'm thinking, man, I'm a little nervous for Jason Tatum, because he's had no-show games. This game, you know, not only the air ball in the first quarter. Now, he was getting off the ball, which a lot of people would say is a good thing for him, right? But he was getting off the ball pretty quickly a lot of the times. And when he was in the paint and just... When he was in the paint, he wasn't taking his time. He was just kind of throwing something up and hoping it would fall, maybe call for a foul. And so he was having a non-superstar game, except some of those kickouts ended up in assists. And so, again, if he sort of shakes that first game jitters and has an average game for him and still, you know, moves the ball around some of these guys, like, they could score 120 a game in this series, Boston can, because this Warriors defense is just not overwhelming.
Yeah, and first half, by the way, shooting basket for basket. I think we forget that. It was overshadowed, I think, by Curry's 21-point first quarter. Boston was right there shooting in the first half, and then they went thermonuclear in the fourth, but they were hot the whole game.
Yeah, and they were incredibly impressive in the second quarter defensively. There's a couple things that I'm not sure that we're going to get to that I want to make sure that we discuss. Marcus Smart. So... the good, the bad, and the ugly of Marcus Smart. The good is that he decided to go around his back and shoot a floater for no good reason at all. That is great. Wow. That is quintessential smarty smart behavior. I love it. The bad slash ugly, I guess, is that in the like most pivotal time in the game, when the Celtics like took over and took the lead like midway through the fourth quarter, he was on the bench. And it was sold to me this whole week. Marcus Smart is the best defender on Steph Curry. They didn't even put Marcus Smart on Steph Curry. Like, he didn't really guard Steph Curry at all in this game. And then when it became important time, he was on the bench. They went with an offensive lineup to Hold up, Alabaster. That feels like a correction, interjection.
No. This is a really important point that you're getting to. And I want to. It just help from what Bob Bulgaris talked about. It was basically the Celtics are able to go smaller and keep a Peyton Pritchard or a Derek White on the floor or both of them together because the Warriors can't punish that lineup. And that's an interesting thing because we thought that Steph would be able to target and demolish those guys. And, you know, Steph has to be more aggressive. Sometimes a bad shot from Steph Curry is a better shot from the others on that team. But if the Celtics are able to play an offensive lineup and stand up defensively, that is trouble for this Golden State team. That's the most disturbing part for them going forward.
Two quick things, Dominique. When it comes to Marcus Smart, three quick things, actually. First of all, you know, he's playing on 1 foot, one ankle, whatever, says before the game, I probably shouldn't be walking. And so if Derek White, who is hitting these shots and has been for, you know, the last couple of games, if he can continue to hit those shots, he's a great individual defender. Like excellent individual defender. So he can stay out there as well.
Spencer, were you more surprised by – so Derek White hit a big three in the fourth quarter. And then I believe it was the very next possession – it might have been like 15 seconds still on the clock, and he just pulled a contested three-pointer. Were you more surprised by him shooting it or by it going in? Because Derek White, to me, and through the course of these playoffs, I feel like I've really gotten to know these players. Like, I'm not watching all 82 Celtics game, but Derek White feels like a hesitant offensive player. Why all of a sudden did Derek White all of a sudden become the guy that's pulling contested three-pointers in clutch time? And on the other side of the ball, Draymond Green decided that he was going to be the leading scorer and shoot a lot, even though he don't never shoot.
I was not surprised to see. I was surprised to see him hit, but not take the second, because once you hit the first, the second's going. Why not?
See,
right?
Especially see, you brought up casino. You brought up casino earlier, and I feel like you and I are different type of casino players. Because I'm like, ooh, I hit. Let me get up out of here. You're like, why not?
No. If one will go, two will go. Yeah, why not? Yeah, this is an absolute heat check, is he? Right? Not even a heat check.
A heat check after one shot, which is
after
great.
One shot, yes, this is my favorite. Derek White, believer in the trend of two, right? The trend of two, not a coincidence. You hit one, that's when the trend starts, and then you go for the two.
Oh, God.
Many people require a sample set of three. Derek White was cool with one. He figured the one, I'm going to go ahead and take a second,
I hit a shot? Oh, I'm a shooter.
Yeah.
And the other thing to Alabaster's point also is, like, I saw a position where Peyton Pritchard stayed right in front of Steph Curry, one-on-one. And if he can do that, then of course he can stay out there. And so you've got to be able to punish them, as Charlie said.
Can we have a word about black shoes and white socks? Can we have a word about Peyton Pritchard? Go look at his plus minus last night. Contributor. Valued contributor on both ends of the floor, okay? Even if you look at him and you're like, come on. That's a stereotype of what I expect to see when I see a Celtics game.
I'd like to take a moment to celebrate the daytime show, because I was also on the nighttime show. In the nighttime show, we could not mention Derek White without putting up a picture of his hairline and then proceeding to mock him. I was opposed to it the entire time. So I would like to thank both of you.
I would like to see it.
Let you know that I'm proud to be associated with you guys, because you are not petty, mean people like Pablo and Mina.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Plastic Hands.
I mean, it's hard, Dominique. For those who don't have perfect hairlines, like, you know, you want to let the people go. Just let them have their troubles and just deal with it themselves. They don't want to mock them. Top five of the network. Top five.
And yeah, I mean, feel like
Spencer and I are holding on. I get the feeling that Spencer's hairline was not there when he was 16, and mine was not here when I was 16. And I got a trick. Like, my hairline was pretty consistent until like 25, which, like, I thought I was in the clear. And then it started creeping on your boy. It's real unfortunate there. They're getting depth. It's real scary what's happening right here.
No, you're getting some good villain lines. I like that, right? You gotta have good villain hair.
Yeah, Alabaster's going to try to make us talk about basketball.
That's right. But I was going to transition to it by talking about Steve Kerr, who has maintained a remarkable hairline for a man of his stress level and age.
He's a handsome man.
What was he doing playing Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green together for like 6 minutes in the fourth quarter? That lineup couldn't score, and they were on the floor for the Celtics offensive eruption.
And Andre hit his first three, so it's just like, oh, it's going to work, so let's play a few more minutes here. And yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was there's no game that I watch or sport that I watch that is more different between the regular season and the postseason than basketball. Mm-hmm. And it feels like in the NBA, part of what they do is throw shit at the wall. And I think that's what that was. That was a wall toss, and it did not work out well. And he thought it was going to work out well. But it's so interesting to me because we always talk about, I mean, in football at least, all this playoff football is different. No, it's not. You have a week to prepare, and you play the same way. Like, it's very different. But in basketball, like, in the regular season, teams play the way they play. They do what they do, and they don't really adjust. In the playoffs, especially in the finals, if you're paying close attention, which I never have until, like, this year, to try to, like, play close attention to the adjustments, they are adjusting, it feels like, out of every stoppage, almost. Or at least the team who's down or the team who's just gone on a poor run, they're making adjustments almost every time.
But if you paid, like, attention to the Warriors closely, even going into the playoff run with Steph being out and coming back from injury, their rotations were never on point. They were never sharp. He was still working with what he – and so sort of tinkering. Adjusting from series to series, either tinkering. And this series is going to require a lot of that. And with only six more to play, and I think Steph might have hinted at it, like, you got to go with your guys. And 38 minutes might turn to 44 for Steph Curry the next game. You know, same for Steph for Klay, same for Draymond. And maybe Jordan Poole doesn't get those minutes because I'm already – you know, I was on a radio show in San Francisco this morning, I overheard people talking about like Moses Moody being the answer because they need some more size. And it's just like, whoa. Number one is the answer is usually not the, you know, the guy that's deep on your bench at this level. Probably not the case. The case is probably more from your guys at the front of the bench and the starters. And so if that's the answer for Steve Kerr, I'm cool with it, because if nothing else, defending Steph Curry for more minutes is going to maybe fatigue you a little bit as a Celtics offense.
Iggy's not an inner circle guy, as far as you're concerned, or at least
he
not
was.
Anymore.
He was, but I think that's like playing Udonis Haslem, right? It's just like, oh, expect. No. Not the same. You know what? Let me take that back. Never came out of my mouth. It's playing a guy who deserves the respect but hasn't played in a while. Like, you're kind of fishing there. Like, you're going by what's happening in practice, maybe, if you're even practicing, but you're just going based on memory and trust on that guy because he hasn't been around in a minute. And so that's a little bit of a gamble there. And, you know, for that three-pointer, it looked like it worked. But after that, the offense stymied.
Was that a vibes lineup? Was that just a vibes call? Just, hey, I don't know. Like, let's trust the old guys and see if they can do it.
And as I've been watching basketball more closely, I get a better understanding of how difficult it is to play defense. I think people who are calling into radio shows and believe that putting Moody in is the answer don't understand that length and athleticism is not the hard part of playing defense in the NBA. Like, it seems to me is like understanding your reaction to a multitude of different actions is the hard part. It's like understanding who you're when you're going to switch, when you're going to hedge, when you're going to drop, when you're going to do whatever, when you need to contest the three, when you don't, when you can help, when you should rotate. And a young guy like Moody may be long and athletic, and it might look better when he's standing in front of Jason Tatum, but the result, I don't think if your issue is defense, adding a young guy doesn't tend to make me feel like it's going to get better. Unless he's just like
there'll be a play or two where he'll show off his athleticism like an Aaron Nesmith did for the Celtics in that first round. But then, you know, you'll be unconnected or disconnected at some point and you'll give up a wide open three. And that's where the regular season matters. And that's where these, you know, rhythm matters.
And our amateur eye will see like somebody blow by Steph and score. And it was really supposed to be Moody to step into that position. And he didn't. And we're going to be like, hey, but he had that really impressive block. Give him some more minutes.
Like, I mean,
it's not the answer.
And you got two games to figure it out, realistically speaking, right?
Peyton, I'd love to see more minutes for Peyton. Well, any minutes for Peyton if he's healthy. I know he can't be healthy, but like, he is their best on-ball defender, and the Celtics don't have anyone who can really dribble. So, like, having someone be able to pressure the ball decision makers.
He's also crazy enough to challenge Robert Williams at the rim. Because he didn't break his leg. He broke his wrist. Yeah. And so if he wants to get up there, he's going to try to get up there and finish on him.
I like Peyton because if he broke his wrist, in his mind, I think he's thinking, I got two of them. Fine. I got a backup.
Gary Payton II, to be clear. We're not talking about Peyton Pritchard. I don't know how he will respond to a broken wrist. But that's, I guess Gary Payton, I don't think he qualifies as young guy, though. Like, he's been a rotation guy for them, and he's not – because Moody wasn't. Like, Moody's not a guy that they've relied on for stretches in this season. But I think this speaks to one of the things that all of us kind of assumed. I think you and I agreed, Izzy, that the champion – once the Suns lost, I agreed that the champion was going to come out of the East. And we don't know how good the Warriors are. If they didn't have the names on the back of the jerseys or even the logos on the front, like, we extend them a lot of goodwill. If they got to the finals the way they did with the numbers that they had against the opponents that they had, I'm not sure we'd be giving them the respect that we're giving them. Like, it's a lot of residual goodwill that these teams get. I know they've been good at defense, but it feels to me like it's clear, especially after this one game sample, that the Celtics are better for basketball.
And this isn't a knock on Luka Doncic, because I think he's arguably the best player in the league, but it's a little easier to defend a team that's so centered around that guy. And, you know, Jason, you could argue that same thing about Jason Tatum, but look, 13 assists in this game, and he didn't shoot it very well and didn't have to. So I think it's a little bit of different defensive responsibility playing this team.
What you got, Allie?
So one thing, and I think last night certainly felt that way, but it should be noted about the Warriors that they did lead the playoffs going into last night in offensive efficiency from all the playoff teams, and in the regular season they were second in defensive efficiency. So this team has played by the numbers that have, you know, boosted the Celtics to a championship favorite. The Warriors were sort of co-favorites in that department heading into last night.
Another stat that I think is going to eat, like, the Warriors for three quarters were getting to the offensive boards. And you know, a lot of their shots were off of putbacks and you know, wide open shots off of offensive boards. And that I just don't think is going to happen when you look at these bodies, right? I know, you know, long shots, long rebounds, you never really know. But when you look at the type of players that these two teams have, I think those rebounding numbers are going to even out to a point where, you know, the Warriors won't have that advantage.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. They kind of, in the fourth quarter in the paint, that's what led to a lot of those open threes, right? Was kicking back out. And that was not something like I usually expect Draymond Green to show up in that space, right? To sort of be a little more present in that space. And it's not to say he disappeared, but he was inconsistent enough to enable a couple of those.
Yeah, at some point, I'm going to need somebody to explain to me what got into Draymond Green last night. But before we go there, I need to have a word with Alabaster. It feels like there's been a shift in our relationship, because there was an opportunity right there for you to dunk on me, and you did it politely without saying it directly at me. And I'm gonna say I liked it better the old way. I know you like me, I know you respect me, but go ahead. If you think I'm wrong, just go ahead and say I'm wrong. I'm not, but you can go ahead and come at me direct like you used to. I like the way our relationship used to be.
Well, that's I picked the Celtics in five, so I'm with you. I just had to play devil's advocate for this. So I can play both sides of the fence. So in case the Warriors win game two, then I can come in and be a total jackass and be like, see, I gotcha.
Dude, does the devil need an advocate? Like, where did that start? Don't he got, like, magic? I feel like he's...
Don't you have to say you're playing devil's advocate before you do it? Otherwise, you're just doing it.
Yeah. Otherwise,
you're just taking on that opinion.
Otherwise, you're just being a lawyer for free for no reason. Yeah.
I got a lot on this game, actually. I'm sorry. So at some point, someone's going to explain to me what got into Draymond Green. I suspect that you guys will not be able to, so question will remain rhetorical. But I will say, I noticed that when I'm coming into this game, everyone's telling me how the Celtics defense is going to be stressed in a different way because the Warriors offense is so unique and they run so many different actions on and off of the ball. What I noticed at the end of this game, they were doing high pick and roll in ISO just like every damn body else. And that was pretty embarrassing and confusing, especially when it wasn't working. And I just don't get it.
I mean, they ran some other stuff. They ran their little stuff off the ball, the split screens off the ball. And it's just like the Celtics ended up defending things way better as they went along. I mean, early on, it was insane. They were playing drop coverage on Steph, which he hadn't seen since maybe never. He's born Del Curry's son. You're not going to see drop coverage. And yet he's sitting there wide open just taking shots, and they let him get into a rhythm. So it was like I was saying, it was just some – some stuff that the Celtics defense were doing that was just unrecognizable. And the Warriors, like, yeah, they run a lot of their stuff and they run it really well, but it can be defended, especially if Robert Williams can take one step and just block a three-pointer. You know what I mean? It's just... and there was another couple of shots where I thought he could have really jumped and affected a shot, and he just didn't. And so, yeah, I think this Boston defense is, you know, we're going to look back at it as one of the greatest we've seen. And it's largely because that guy in the middle, on one leg, mind you, because he does not look healthy, can be a dominant defender.
He had a block on Steph, too, when he got by him. He pumped for a three and went to the lane, and Robert Williams helped off and got a block at the rim that I thought was impactful.
P.J. Tucker's going to have nightmares about Robert Williams.
This is why you don't play drop on Steph. There you go. Drop coverage on Steph. 21 points in a quarter. You know, so, on pace for 84 in drop coverage, baby.
You guys, we all thought at the end of that first quarter, damn. Like, even me, who thought the Celtics were going to win the series, I was like, damn, Steph's on the rampage. This is going to be, like, the Steph coronation series. This is going to elevate. By the end of this series, we're going to be talking Jordan or Curry because the way that he's going to eviscerate the Celtics.
Right.
And then
because it got him into a rhythm, and then he hit the one over Grant Williams, and you're just like, oh, no, wow, he's gonna catch fire. Doesn't matter if there's a guy in his face. And no.
Guys, I got one question here. The Warriors are up by 15 after the third quarter. Not just after the, you know, not just after the first. How different are we talking about this if Derek Bleepin' White and the role players don't go crazy in the fourth quarter? Like, that was sort of an aberration.
But was it crazy or were they hitting open shots?
Yeah,
that's the thing, is that one team was able to get good ball movement and the other team wasn't. Like, that's if the Celtics can choke off and frustrate the defense or frustrate the Warriors offense to the degree that they did in the fourth quarter, it does not really matter if we have Fluky Al Horford, Derek White bombing away from three. By the way, shouts out to Al Horford, who at the ripe old age of 73 was absolutely nuking it last night. Like, just beautiful stuff.
He's been in a rhythm all playoffs.
Yeah, he's been great. He's been phenomenal, right? I don't know what the CPAP situation is. I don't know. Like, I was saying that he's got nice pajamas. I don't know, you know, what he's doing in terms of diet. But dude is just in a rhythm right now. But it won't matter, right? It won't matter. It won't be a 15-point win, but it might be a 5-7-point win if the Celtics are able to control the tempo and where the ball goes in the fourth quarter. It's just, it's nuts to me how they warriored the Celtics, or the Celtics warriored the Warriors, right? They did that thing where I'm going to take a quarter and I'm going to burn all your dreams to the ground.
So it's like if, I don't know, Mark Wahlberg dressed up like E-40. Is that what we have happening now? It's like Wahlberg telling them where to go?
That's so disturbing.
Are those the two celebrities for each city? The two most known celebrities for each city is Mark Wahlberg and
E-40? I guess E-40 is Oakland.
It depends on which city we're talking about.
They're not Oakland anymore. They're in San Francisco.
Right.
And, I mean, Boston, we saw last round, Boston, they don't really got the best in-game celebrity situation. Like, I assume E-40 was there. I saw Hove was in the building.
Any Patriot gets shown on the big screen, that place goes nuts.
Yep.
You showed Tua, by the way, next topic, spoiler alert, at a Heat game, quarter of them booing. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I got one last thing, because I do want to get to other topics, and Alabaster has an interjection. We want Steph to take over at some point. Like, that's what people are saying generally. Is like, at some point, it doesn't matter what defense they're playing. Steph, you have to take over. But we also want them to play the way they play, which is as close to like Spurs style egalitarian offense that we have. Like, it puts Steph in a impossible situation where no one's going to give him an open shot in the fourth quarter of a game. No one with any sense. So like, at no point is the right move for Steph to shoot because he's going to be defended aggressively, which means someone else is not. But I get it. You're a star. You got to pull sometimes. Did I talk you out of your, interjection, Allie?
No. I think it's just I want to pivot back to one more thing from the game, and that is to highlight.
Be that Fina.
Oh, we got to find out who's the fine life, the Corona fine life player of, was it the day, the night, the week, the year?
I think of game one.
Of the show?
Yeah, of the show.
Okay.
And so this is This goes to Al Horford, who we mentioned very briefly. Al Horford is living the fine life presented by Corona, and the reason for that is he has gone in a time machine. He's been incredible this entire playoffs defensively, offensively, after being sort of on the pine in Oklahoma City last year. But last night, 6 for 8 from three. And beyond that, a stat that makes it even more crazy, 3 years in college for your beloved Florida Gators, Izzy and Spencer. Al Horford made 0 3-pointers. This man has made a career
as a
star. And tonight, today, he is living the fine life presented by Corona.
He was feeling himself too. Like, if Al takes a three that's not wide open and makes it, look out. Because he hit one of those after, I think, maybe it's a second or third one with a hand in his face, and it's like, oh, forget about it. Like, he's in a full rhythm. And, I had a conversation with Joe Kim Noah not too long ago, and we were both shocked. Like, he brought it up that Al is still out here doing it at this level, at this age. It's unbelievable what he's doing, and it's absolutely critical that he is hitting those shots, because if he hasn't been, whether it be Philly or whether it be in Boston, like if he's not hitting those shots, eventually he's going to be a liability. But if he's hitting those shots with the defensive IQ that he has, man, like that guy can be a huge piece to a championship team, obviously. And shout out, because he's also Dominican.
Hey, senior citizens hitting from three and dominating fourth quarters by spreading the ball around. Only one team played Spurs basketball last night, like classic Popovich Spurs basketball last night, and it was not the Warriors.
It's the Popovich. I guess they're both kind of Popovich disciples. Mm-hmm. But I would like to say that congratulations to Al Horford for being the fine life player. However, I don't know if his eyelashes are prettier or his jump shot is uglier. Like, those, they go in, but he puts his left hand in front of the ball, like he is blocking his own shot, and then removes it. Like,
he guides it from the top, not from the side. It's very odd.
I mean, I guess it makes sense, because like anyone who teaches you to shoot says, like, you want to be able to shoot as if you do not have a guide hand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So he is absolutely shooting one-handed threes, because he just it's atrocious. But then he bats those eyelashes, and I'm like, oh.
But the lush eyelashes.
When he was coming up, I just wanted to ask, what coach is going to correct anyone with Tito Horford sitting on the sideline? You seen Tito?
He's at every game, too. Every game. Every looks like he could still play.
Dude, he looks like he could bounce at two bars at the same time. Like, Tito's a big dude. Nobody's going to correct him when they're like, yeah, put your hand on top of the ball. That's correct, Mr. Horford. That's correct.
But isn't Corey Brewer coaching somewhere, speaking of Gators and his teammates? Like, Joe Kim's been out for a few years. Corey Brewer has to be coaching somewhere. And Al Horford, like, looking like he's in his prime.
Yeah. Does he shoot his free throws like that, too? Like, I don't know. I'm seeing these threes for playoffs, and I've been celebrating with the rest of y'all. But every time I see it, it, like, makes me cringe a little bit. But then those eyelashes.
I think it was those eyelashes that actually convinced Jimmy Butler to pull up for that three. He was just backing up, and he was, like, and boom, it worked.
If his hands aren't going to block this shot, those luscious eyelashes are. All right, Alabaster, we got more on this game, but can we save it for tomorrow and talk about football?
We sure can. Tua. We can pivot to Izzy's beloved Tua Tagovailoa. And we have some sound for you to listen to. And our question
power through.
Did Tua prove the Twitter Warriors wrong by throwing two good passes?
You're just gonna keep talking, huh?
But she brings it up just so I'm aware with the questions that you guys are gonna ask me. For me, it's just like I said, all the bad news I hear from Ann. Ann tells me, hey, I don't know if you heard about this, but they say that. I'm like, man, why would you want to bring that up to me? But she brings it up just so I'm aware with the questions that you guys are going to ask me. For me, it's just zone that out. I mean, we come out to practice, everyone else, Twitter warriors, keyboard warriors, whatever you want to call them. They're not out here practicing with us working hard. So I don't know if you guys recorded that last one to Tyreek, but...
I don't know about you. That looked like money.
Good Good for him.
Do you guys want to start talking about this while I go get my Tua Tagovailoa signed football real quick?
Yeah, sure.
I forgot about it. Should I go get it? I'll be right back.
I'm Team Tua, too. You and I are Team Tua. The rest of the world disagrees. Spencer, what do you think?
Well, there's no proving anyone on Twitter wrong. You can type anything into Twitter, and it will appear on the internet. Okay? How it works. And it'll stay up there. It doesn't have to be verified. It doesn't have to be right. You can put anything into this machine, and it will appear. You don't prove anything by throwing two deep passes in practice. You don't. All right. I enjoy soft pedaling this. I like to say Tua throws a very catchable ball. He throws an extremely catchable ball. Okay. Yes. Somebody said, I believe it was Mike McDaniel actually said, what's the point of being able to throw the ball 80 yards if you don't have an offensive line who can't protect? And I'm like, well, because throwing the ball 80 yards is awesome. And it indicates that's the first reason you do it, okay? The second is that if you have someone like Tyreek Hill and you can throw it 80, you can probably throw it 50 to 60 pretty accurately and get it to a guy who's faster than everyone else on the field. I don't think he's proven anything yet because it hasn't happened in a game situation. However, I think to his accuracy and his increasing maturity, it's going to make him a pretty good quarterback. I think you can – he's never been the kind of guy who's made throws that make you sort of stand back. But the best quarterback in the game, Tom Brady, he doesn't do that either, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, he's got a good arm, but we've never said, man, that's a cannon, right? Yeah. You can say that about Aaron Rodgers. You can also count up the number of titles they have between them and do your own work.
Yeah. Tua is good.
Oh, look at the green screen.
That is nice. I like that.
Oh, that is nice.
That is beautiful. Tua's good, like, anticipatory thrower, which I think is a harder trait to find than rocket arm, which like suggests to me that he has a good grasp on the offense and like he processes things quickly mentally. It doesn't happen consistently though, is the confusing part. Mm-hmm. And like I would have told you before Tua entered the league that the two most important things you want to have in a quarterback is like a quick brain and accuracy. He has both of those things and still isn't very good. And I guess you can chalk that up to supporting cast, the coaches, whatever. Or maybe for whatever reason, he hasn't developed in a way that you would want him to. But I suspect that he's gonna prove the haters wrong this year. Certainly not going to do it in practice, though.
Did you guys like read the full details of his practices the last couple of days? Because even yesterday, there was some not great moments, but that's the whole point. Like, it's practice. A lot of those moments where they were saying it's because he would have been sacked. Is that because the offensive line is still terrible, or is that because he's holding on to the ball too much? We don't know yet. It's practice. The thing that makes me nervous about all of this is all of the Tom Brady rumors that have been circulating right around over here, and that maybe next it's an all-or-nothing type of season for Tua. That's the type of stuff that I think, I mean, that's a lose-lose scenario. Like, I just don't think you come out of that feeling good, because you'd have to all of a sudden have a phenomenal year for people not to poke holes in what you did, and then, you know, your replacement could be coming in the form of a goat. So that's the part that I don't want to see.
That's the life of being like an unproven quarterback in NFL. So like, if that's enough to throw him off, then maybe he's not the guy. I'm trying to think back of a time where somebody was under that pressure and came through on the other side and became like a legitimate franchise quarterback, and I'm not sure that it's the pressure that causes that. It's just like they ain't as good as we wanted them to be, or as good as the draft suggested they would be. So
doesn't he just have to be better than Jimmy Garoppolo? If you sort of project and say, all right, this is a 49er style offense, McDaniel in here, just be better than that, because you can be slightly better than that and have better talent around you. That means you could be a better team.
Yeah, what are we going to do that's going to make you look better? I'm going to give you a running game. There we go.
And he was great in RPOs last year.
Exactly. Everyone at the end of this year is going to say, wow, you know, Tua really cleaned up his game. He really improved. All 11 of them improved because they got put in a better scheme. They're making better decisions. That's all it. And the decisions will probably be a bit simpler because, again, I've seen this particular coaching paradigm work with a guy of, I want to say, managed talent. How's that? Managed talent is what I would call Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Constructed talent, not necessarily the most eye-popping playmaking talent play-to-play. And he took them real far. I think that's probably what we're looking at as Tua's ceiling, and that's fine. A lot of different quarterbacks. I think they should play this up, by the way. I think Tua should just go ahead and say, hey, I'm a real manageable quarterback, because half the coaches in the NFL still love this. If your future isn't with the Miami Dolphins, you know what he should say? I love handing off. Love throwing checkdowns.
Yep.
Right? I'm just here to get out of the way. Half the coaches in the NFL will go insane if he says that. He'll be the hottest QB free agent. If he does that.
That list of weapons that Alabaster put up there, it's pretty damn impressive. Like, I don't think Mike Gesicki gets as much credit as he deserves, in my view. Like, he's not in the conversation as one of the top pass-catching tight ends in the league. But whenever I watch him play, he is getting wide-ass open and making incredible one-handed catches. And he's at the bottom of that list.
He's just got to learn to block a little bit. Yeah. Those first four people, all fast AF.
Yeah, I think you're trying to, like, superimpose the 49ers offense and – he's not quite as good at Kittle as blocking or maybe even receiving, but I think he's more of a Travis Kelce like replica than he is Kittle replica. So they can do things with that offense. So like you think of what Kelce and Hill did together, like they can create a similar dynamic with Hill and Gesicki as long as Tua was able to hit Hill on those deep passes to loosen up a defense. They picked up Armstead. Like, the offensive line is getting better. They picked up Connor Williams. They are more talented, if nothing else. Hopefully, they'll be better coached, and they'll perform for them.
I'm just so happy they're relevant.
I know Izzy's a Dolphins fan, though, because did you hear that? When going, hey, Tua's performance, it could be good. However, and then cited Dolphins situation forever, which is management, a.k.a. everything that the franchise has done to hamstring themselves success-wise. That's always the monster under the bed for Dolphins.
Steven. Well, I got a question for you. Steven. So, Anthony, my partner Anthony won this for winning Offensive Player of the League in our flag football season, but he had a choice between this and Jalen Waddle signed, and he got the Tua. Did he make the wrong decision?
No, good call.
Hey, guys.
Good call? Okay.
Guys, can we disagree about something? This has been so cordial. You guys have agreed on everything with the NBA and with the Dolphins. Tua's got a candy arm. He's been bad. Let's fry
that
guy.
Like candy. Don't you like candy?
Been bad? You know, have you been watching footage that we haven't seen in practice, Charlie?
You know what candy is? Delicious.
It is. Delicious. It's a lot of
easy
it.
To
it's
eat. Easy to consume.
Yeah. Fills you with happiness and sugar and energy.
Yeah, it's not nourishing. Right. Like you're going to be hungry still, but
keeps the kids happy.
Also, I got like three other quarterbacks who can throw a football through a barn if you want, right? You want that? Justin Herbert's right there.
We do not have the inflammatory, like, old school sports guy who's like, just look at did he win or did he lose? Because I think that's what Alabaster wants. Because there are enough reasons to still have hope for Tua. Like, yes, there's reasons to be critical of him. But the thing that I mentioned, like, he hasn't lost his ability to anticipate or his ability to read defense. Which, like, when I see that go for quarterbacks or see quarterbacks don't have that, those are the ones that no matter how strong their arm is, those are the ones that I think are, like, a lost cause. You don't protect anybody. They're bad. You remember Tom Brady in his last year in New England? You don't give him any weapons. Mm-hmm. They're bad. So there is hope for Tua. Rarely do you see quarterbacks become franchise quarterbacks if they haven't shown glimpses up until now, but there's still hope.
Go ahead and get a new marker. That one's dying.
Yeah.
This is going to be every week. So every week it's going to be a Tua discussion. Hey, was he good? Was he bad? And so hopefully by the end of the year, it'll be good enough to where he doesn't lose his job because, look, I just like his energy and I just don't like the idea of, you know, Tom Brady having to come at this age into this organization and salvaging it.
You don't need that.
Also, Alabaster, I'm being way meaner than it sounds because I'm being gentler, right? Yeah. I'm saying the ceiling at this point is most manageable quarterback. Yeah. That's the brand.
Yeah,
that's what you want to go with. That's actually
the Alex Smith Award.
Don't tell anybody, right? Like, you're the most corporate man quarterback. That's what we want. What
how dare you?
Chad Pennington Award.
You snuck some minutes on, and I was determined to not talk about Fitzmagic. Pablo's not here.
I got one thing for
you. You snuck some minutes on because you want us to talk about Russ making a fool of himself.
Well, a couple things first. All I ask for my quarterbacks, I mean, I don't need them to be Kyle Bowler or Ryan Mallett, but maybe just be able to throw the ball more than 20 yards. That'd be nice. And we also compared Tua to Tom Brady twice, but I digress.
Yeah, that's what you do. It's called sports TV. You're going to be upset that we're not arguing, but then also upset that we bring in big names. Like, what are you doing?
No, I just wanted to just mention the unmitigated gall and the temerity of that of that comparison.
There we go. I mitigate my gall. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm properly gruntled on that topic, but I think it's time to move on to Russell Wilson, an actual good
quarterback. I mitigate my gall and I control my tartar.
And the question I have for you guys, what are the chances that Russell Wilson sounds cool? And we have another clip for you to listen to here.
Just put my jersey on for the first time. Broncos orange, let's ride. Green screening it. With my boy,
yes, sir.
Let's go. We in the orange, baby. Let's go. Let's ride, baby. Ooh,
we too clean right now. No cap.
Well, we know what we doing. Hey. I have my boy Drew. And I got one phone with
one
me.
One phone with me.
Boy, hey. Hey.
Yes, sir.
Show them what we gonna do.
Yes, sir. Ski.
What are they gonna do? What did he show them? Like, there's nothing less.
They're gonna A.
There's nothing
A.
sadder than the empty woo, like in a hype video.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
If you're gonna,
he
if you're
said green screening it,
fire, please. What is that?
You're green in front of a green screen. Are you
green
screening
it?
Yeah,
green screening
it. Woo, green screening it.
Something Greg Cody would say.
It's so bad.
Is Greg Cody cool?
It was so uncomfortable that we haven't even made it to like the code switching voice that he's doing. Like, I don't know who Russell is. I assume he knows who he is, but we get so many Russells, and I don't mean to like clown somebody for code switching. It's something we all do at certain times, but you're not from Atlanta. Like, that's not where you grew up.
It's one thing I've always respected about Eli Manning, like not even trying, even trying to be cool.
Nope.
Just be Eli. And in a way it was cool.
It just felt,
I mean, is Russell Wilson, do you think his, like, PR brain is broken by people constantly wondering if he could fight future? Right? Like, that's possible, because that's, like, the oldest and yet most alive internet debate I've ever seen. But in addition to that, Russell is just, Russell's just kind of switching channels, man. And I think that's constant. That's constant. The only thing I know that Russell's constant about is that he walks into a room and he's like, hey, kids, what do you like? Because he's always, and I think, like, if we can say one salient thing here, he's always the teacher who's like, I gotta connect with these kids.
Yeah.
How am I gonna get to them?
He would make a
Do you know how cool he thought he was?
Teacher? He'd be awesome.
By just saying 1-4 instead of 14, like he thought he was in there with the kids.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that any of us would say that, like, we are, like, the arbiters on cool or in touch, but I know that wasn't it. It's like, as Pablo would say, it's like porn. You know it when you see it, and I didn't see it. I did not see it right there. It was that was rated G, all the way rated G, and not for gangster. You remember that picture?
Start off Broncos
that he was
orange.
Standing next to Richard Sherman a while ago, and he like had on a jersey and like a sideways baseball hat. Do you remember this? I'll send it to you later. It's really embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And that picture or that video made me feel like that picture.
What's the least cool number? 37%. 37 is like a non-cool number.
37
is
terrible.
Has anybody ever worn 37?
Somebody has.
I don't know.
Not by choice. It's leftovers. No. Like, no one is like, Meadow, he was 39, right? Meadow World Peace?
Sean Alexander.
Sean Alexander. Good one.
Interesting.
Hold on. You guys talk about something so I can find this Russell Wilson picture.
I was really just going to say that I appreciate Mr. Wilson, who I have in third period for civics, trying to reach out to the youths. I appreciate him asking which one of us played Fortnite, even though nobody's played Fortnite for 4 years. I think the effort is sincere. It's always from a good place, and it's always
hold
very
on. Fortnite
awkward.
Is washed.
Fortnite's washed, y'all. Sorry,
what they on now?
My 12-year-old is not wrong. My 12-year-old says it's washed. Then that is totally done.
What is he on to? Or he hasn't found. There's the picture.
Wow.
There's the picture. I couldn't find it. I think I have a filter on my phone as has a lame blocker, so I couldn't find it.
The money team hat. Wow.
It was a corny firewall I have, an encrypted cornball firewall.
Also, I want Russell to go through an EPL phase because I really want to see him show up like full kit, show up with the scarves. Hello, it's lads.
I think it was part of what we're doing is unfair, is because I think. Would that be believable if we didn't already have a construct in our mind of who Russell Wilson is? But I feel like no matter if that was the first time I saw Russell Wilson, would I be like, that guy looks uncomfortable? I don't know.
Oh, Corona.
Thanks, Corona.
Sounds so good right now.
Yeah.
It's Friday. I got to go to my daughter's chorus performance right now. She's going to grab me a Corona. Sit back.
Oh yeah, it's good. I got a parent-teacher conference.
You can't really tell, which you can't even hear your kid's voice when it's in a chorus. I mean, it could be anybody.
I agree, but you still got to show up and then say it was great.
You got to get a solo. You got to demand a solo.
No.
You got to stand out from the crowd.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Fox,
blend in.
Number?
Blend in
what
like
was your
Russell.
Number?
24, 22.
I'm here
six,
with 2-4.
7.
Kids basketball game. Green screen in it. Oh.